Praise God. Today's Reflection Sunday, and it's Palm Sunday, and so we're going to have reflection from everybody, and I will even offer a brief reflection too. Amen?
Amen.
Because of Palm Sunday. I have to say something. Amen. But we praise God that we're going to hear from each of you, our crew. Amen. Brother Les and Sister Nida and Sister Patricia and Sister Fennell. Amen. I got my green book. It's my Reflection Sunday book. I'm about halfway through it, but I won't make it through the year, but I'm looking forward to, I think what I'm going to do is put together a Reflection Sunday. I'm going to make it for myself. Like a little Reflection Sunday outline to see what God's been saying all these months. Amen.
Amen.
I think there's some good stuff in here, Brother Les. Every Reflection Sunday, I bring it out. We start on this Reflection Sunday, March 25th, Palm Sunday. And we're going to start. Brother Les, want to start us off?
Sure.
You'll come and share whatever it is that the Lord has shared on your heart. And I take all of my material with me as Brother Les is coming. So as he comes, pray for him.
Amen.
Amen. It's not too late to pray that God would just fill his heart with wisdom. Amen.
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 Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. For a couple of years now, God has been speaking to me about the change in my life. But, you know, there's been so many things happening in my life that it kind of created a noise that God's voice was seemed like a low whisper.
Mm.
But it's grown louder. Last year particularly, it got louder about change coming, and it was telling me about it being great change, and I'm thinking that's really good change, and so I've been kind of guessing about what it's going to be, because I've been excited about it, and God's been saying various things to me. And as I say, I've been guessing, and God's been telling me I've been guessing wrong. but he didn't say I couldn't guess, so I keep guessing. And this past few weeks, he's been talking to me about the seasons of a man's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I immediately went to Ecclesiastes. Verses 1-8, which says, to everything there is a season and a time and every purpose under the heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading that. But God said, that's not where I want you to read. So he sent me to Daniel. No. It's been a while since I've read Daniel. I had to go to my
Ministry of Health.
Yes. Find where Daniel was. And sent me to second verse, verses 21, he said, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings.
Mm-hmm.
He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And I'm not sure of everything that's in there that God wants me to get, but you know, I've been thinking about all the things that I've gone through in my life, you know, and and the things that I think, you know, all of us go through. Mm-hmm. The content may be different, but the events are often, of course, very similar. We go through sickness, mm-hmm. Death in the family. We go through the really high moments too. We go through the successes and jobs and businesses and just so many things. And you know, as I, you know, next year, as I'll be 70 years old, and I've decided, God hasn't told me this, but I've decided that's the magic time for me. I just think it's a great, great point, great time. So I'm thinking that's when a big change is going to occur for me. And I, you know, because, and I'm kind of aiming my business towards that as well. Trying to get someone to take the reins of my business, because there are other things that I really see God pushing me towards.
Amen.
Things that I haven't been able to get to, things I didn't even know that I was going to be going to until God started showing me some things. You know, as I've been growing, there's so many immediate things to take care of. You know, we all need shelter and you know, we need cars to get to our jobs, and we need new jobs and new businesses, and all those things are what I would say are immediate needs. But there are bigger needs. There are bigger things, I think, that God wants us to do, wants me to do. And, you know, again, I'm guessing about what some of those things are, but I'm excited about them. You know, the things that that only experience, you can only learn through experience, that experiences teach you, teach me. You know, I was telling Patricia this morning about my son, my godson, Tori, and he's 19. And we've been going through a few things. You know, I've told you about this, the car thing, driving fast. We got through that. You know, 4 points and $500 fine. It was, he got the 4 points, I got to pay the $500 fine.
Right.
This past snowstorm, at night, he decided he was going to go out to one of his friend's house, which is near us, right near us, about 5 minutes away. And he's in my wife's car, because his car is in the shop. And he, he called me about 2:30 in the morning. Uh-oh. Now, he doesn't stay out. Mm-hmm. At 2:30, that's not something our family, anybody in our family does. But he called me about 2:30 in the morning, and you know, it's when I get a call at 2:30 in the morning, my thoughts don't go to great things.
Right.
So, but it seems that he had gotten, left his friend's house, was going to. Came to a stop sign before he reaches the main road that leads to our house, and he had gotten out to wipe the ice off the windshield, left the car running, and he got locked out of the car. So he didn't want, this was around midnight actually, that this happened, but he didn't want to call me, so he called the police. Called the police and explained to them what happened. Well, the police looked for him, but I guess he had given them bad directions or something. So an hour went by and they weren't there. And now he's standing out in the cold. No coat.
Oh, gosh.
His coat was in the car. So the police, after now, they had given up. So he called them. They said, I'm still here. And so they came out again and finally found them after about another hour.
Oh, boy.
So, but this is West Hampton police, and they have a policy where they do not unlock cars. Mm. They won't do it. They can do it. They just won't.
Wow. Mm.
So now it's 2:30, and he has to call me because I've got the other set of keys. So I get out of my warm, cozy bed and go up there. Well, I go outside. Now, like I said, it's 2:30 in the morning. At the end of my driveway is a slight incline, a curve you go over. Well, I've got my sneakers on. I didn't bother putting on socks. And I step into this puddle that's about 5 inches deep.
Oh, gosh.
Now my feet are frozen. And I'm not in a real good mood. So I go to him, and I see where the lights are blaring from the cop's car, so it's easy to find him. And he gets out of the police car, and he's shivering and everything, and he's apologizing for all this stuff. And I say, okay, it's going to be okay. Let's just do what we have to do. So I unlock his car, he gets back in it, and he's trying to, this is on a slight incline, so he's spinning. So I say, back up, and then you'll be able to go forward. So he backs straight up. Well, it was where the snow was. The snow plow had just gone by on the other side. All he had to do was back up on the other side. So I said, no, go to where the snow plow just came. And back, and then you'll be able to go. So he goes, and he stops at the stop sign. And well, then he's stuck again. If you stop at the stop sign, it's at the top of the incline. So on the back up and the go, and the police officer, this time, do not stop at the stop sign. Just keep going. Even she was getting tired at this point. So finally, he gets out, and he gets going. And I have to go down a ways to turn around, and then I go, and he's standing out there waiting for me when I get home. And he's still apologizing and saying, I said, look, it's okay. You have to learn these things. Let's just go to bed and it'll be fine in the morning.
Right.
But it's part of what I'm talking about is the experience. To begin with, he shouldn't have gone out that time of the night. But he had gotten in from work and some other things he was telling me, which didn't matter. But it's just, he doesn't have any experience. To learn about how you do yourself. You know, I mean, he should have just called me. It would have only been midnight. But at 19, he keeps making decisions that are without experience and turn out to be bad decisions almost every time. So we did talk about that for a few minutes. But other than that, I was cold and tired, and I just wanted to get to bed. But I think that's what God has been saying to me, that to draw on those experiences.
Right.
You know, those good experiences, those bad experiences, they're all good things. I mean, the bad things don't seem like it at the time, but they really help prepare you for what's to come.
Yeah.
And you know, God doesn't let us know what's to come, and that's a good thing too. Because some of us, I know sometimes I don't think I'd get out of bed if I didn't know what was to come.
Yeah, no, that's
but
right.
as God begins to reveal what He wants me to do and where He wants me to be, I continue to get excited about it. So I search. And I search and I ask God, what's going to be? What are things going to be like? It's like a renewed time, a time to renew for me. And I'm so excited about it. And I wish it would come today. I believe it's going to come next year. I'm believing that. God hasn't said that, as I said, but I'm believing that. And I'm relying on all those things that have come before, all those things that have that God has put in my path for me to do or for me to miss, that but let me know, at least let me know that I've missed some things, some opportunities that that, you know, and God sends things back. You know, that's a thing that I think is so wonderful about God. I've missed some opportunities, but He's brought them back to me. And I'm so thankful for that. But this is one time I'm looking hard. I don't plan on missing.
Praise the Lord.
That's really my reflection.
Amen.
Praise God for good and bad experiences. Amen. It'd be great if all we can have to do is just rely on our good experience. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the bad experiences are more valuable.
Right.
Yeah. I've learned more lessons when I was a kid when I got in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I learned what to avoid next time. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is good for especially for like the small ones like Veronica, is that I learned from when my sisters and older kids got in trouble. In other words, I just said, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? So sometimes you learn from the bad experiences of other people, too.
Right.
You know, but all experiences are teachers if we allow them to be.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so praise God for the experiences. And you're saying God is telling you to draw on your experiences. And we all need to do that. But also, too, Brother Les, we're going to be praying for you for clarity, right? So you can stop guessing. Amen. So you can get to a place of knowing this is what the Lord is going to do. And God, listen, God will reveal Himself unto us when it's time, right? Sometimes He plants that seed of expectation, and you don't know what it is, but you just know something is coming.
Amen.
But He's just getting you ready. And if you've been holding on to that for about a year, it's not a small thing. So we're believing on revelation for you. Amen?
Amen.
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 Sister Nida, you and company are up next. Amen.
I was just going to say, who's the company?
You are not alone. I tell you that. Any day now,
Amen.
It's getting close.
I'm going to first read Psalms, Psalms 56, verse 3 to 4. So it says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose words I praise. In God I trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And going back to what my brother was just saying this evening, you know, those bad experiences. We hate those bad experiences. But I guess, you know, what I got to say in my reflection also was that I was telling Sister Patricia and Sister Evelyn that like 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, you know, I had a bad week, you know, and one of the things that happened to me was that I got into a car accident, and they put me like I was neglected driver, you know, so, and I was afraid to go to court for that. I just said, I'm going to pay the ticket and get it over with. It's the easiest thing to do. But Sister Patricia and Sister Evelyn was like, no, go and fight it, you know. And I really don't know how exactly the accident happened, you know. I guess that was another reason why I was like, let me just pay it off and that's it. But I know that they were going to take points off. So I decided instead to follow the advice, and I went to court and, you know, I played guilty on the ticket, but when the person saw my license and everything, they saw that it was clean. They like, we're going to drop all the charges. And
praise the Lord. Yeah. Man. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so God is good. All I had to pay was $86. Wow. And that was it. So God is good. I know sometimes that happens to me a lot where I get afraid to do things. It's easier. Like for that ticket, it would have been so easy just not to fight. But in this world, God wants us to fight. Fight. So I felt that like I was ready to surrender, and I think both of them saw it on my face that this is not what I want to do. I just want to pay that ticket and get it done, you know. But we have to fight in life, you know, not only me with that ticket, but in general, with everything that goes on with us, we have to fight.
Yeah.
And even though that fear comes, we know that fear is not from God.
That's
you
right.
know? It's
Amen.
Not.
That's
so
right.
we just have to be strong, rest in Him, you know, and ask Him to build our faith.
Amen.
And that's what I'm working at this time in my life. Building that faith. I said, sometimes I feel like, yes, I got it. And then again, when those difficult times come, I'm like, where is it? You know? So that's my reflection for today, for all of us to build our faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Do we have to fight? Yeah, we have to fight.
Yeah.
Amen. And but the Bible says that it's a fight of faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
We fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Amen. Faith people, that's one thing people get wrong about Christians. They think Christians who are faith people don't know how to fight, right? But we just fight differently, right?
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare are
not carnal,
but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we just fight differently, amen. But we have to know how to fight.
Amen.
Amen. God expects us to know how to fight. The children of Israel went back into the wilderness because God knew that they weren't ready to fight all the enemies that were in the land. Right?
Amen.
He said they didn't know how to war. And so therefore, He had to take them around another way.
Amen.
Praise God. So if we show God that we don't know how to fight spiritually, He'll take us around another way, and our journey will be a whole lot longer, right?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So we have to be prepared to fight. Not fight the way the world fights, right? The weapons of our warfare, not carnal, right? So we don't do the thing that the world does.
Amen.
Right? We got better weapons. We have better tactics.
Amen.
Amen. We have that word of God right there. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. So that was a short one. That was a good one.
Amen.
Good thing you went to court too.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing I heard too, though. She said because they saw my license was clean.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't realize the benefits of good living.
Amen.
You understand what I mean? But now they saw your license was clean, and they said, okay, we're going to do something. That's why do what's right today, because you don't know how much that might benefit you tomorrow.
Amen.
Right? Because your history matters in the present. Because people are going to look at what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll treat you in the now many times according to what you have shown yourself to be over a period of time. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what credit scores are about?
Yeah.
Right? Pay your bills. Right? So that you can show and demonstrate you can be trusted with whatever it is you're asking for today.
Amen.
Praise God. Sister Fennell is coming.
Amen.
Amen. And she's ready.
Amen.
She gathers up all her material.
Amen.
Amen. And she's coming to share with us on this morning. So pray for Sister Fennell before she gets here. Praise God.
She's here.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God is good.
He is.
Always.
All the time.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
A couple of things are going through my mind right now, but as Jeff said, we might have said it first, but we have to fight, and certainly that's what God wants us to do, is fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
And to build our faith. And as I was listening to Brother Les, he went to the scripture in Daniel. And I was just reading a little ahead. And I think this has to do with our faith too. But it said, you read verse 21, verse 23, it says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. And we don't know what God is doing. You know, he says he has a plan for us, and we don't know what he's doing, but he does. And our faith just has to know that he's doing something.
Amen.
But it's funny that you mentioned the Daniel scripture, and then it says, but I thank God. I thank you because you're revealing this to me. You're giving
Amen.
Me wisdom.
Amen.
You're showing me. You're making these things known to me. So God will continue Amen. To make things known to us as we continue to follow him
yes.
in faith mm-hmm. and just believe in his word.
Amen.
And I say that for myself today.
And for me too.
And for you too. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to read a scripture from Galatians.
Okay.
Chapter 2. And I just had it, and I don't know what I did with it.
Galatians.
Galatians chapter 2. Galatians is G-A-L-A-T-I-A-N-S. It's for my children. Galatians chapter 2. And it's, I'm going to read from verse 20.
From verse 20. Okay.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And I was just reminded of the scripture. This has always been like one of my favorite scriptures, even though I never understood it when I first got saved. But as the years, you have a relationship with God, and the years go on, God gives you revelation. It just comes to life, and it just keeps coming to life for me, the scripture. But Paul was saying this to Peter, and whoever else was around, the disciples were around, because he opposed Peter, because Peter was, he had stopped eating something, and then around the Galatians, he turned away from the Galatians because they were doing something that Peter was always doing with them, but for some reason now he withdrew and he separated himself from them. So Paul was kind of like confronting Peter, like, you used to do this. Why are you doing this now? Why are you turning away from them? And sometimes we need somebody to get in our face like that, because that's what my heading said. Paul gets in Peter's face, So sometimes we need to somebody that will get in our face and confront us when we're doing something wrong. But so Paul was doing this to Peter, and in his explanation of everything that he's done, and we can read the whole thing of Galatians. But in his explanation, he's telling Peter that the things that he does now, he does with purpose. That he does it because of his faith in who he says he believes, Christ. So as I was thinking about the scripture and just meditating on it, I just, the words that kept jumping up at me, the life that I now live in the flesh. Because we're in the flesh. We're of this world. We're in this world. And we can't get away from it until God takes us away from it. So the life that we live now, we're living in our flesh. So Paul was saying this life that he lives now in his flesh, he lives by faith in the Son of God. So the life that I'm living now, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. Now, it's funny because we give reflections, and most of the time, if you listen, we're all drawing, hear that word, drawing on experiences that we've had. And the experiences, for the most part, that we've had with our children. With our children or a loved one. Mm-hmm. That's where we draw most of our experiences from, because in those situations, that's when God speaks to us. You know, he shows us something along those lines in them. And my thing, you know, especially nowadays, and I will never, ever, 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 if I didn't say enough evers, stop talking about my son. I will never, ever, ever stop. But my experience now, you know, I call it my after-death experiences now, is with Joseph. And things that I'm learning because of that, through that, things that I'm going through. But I've been asked so many times, like, why I share so much of Joseph. And it's a dumb question. So whoever's listening that has asked me before, don't ask me again. But my patience is wearing thin. That is a heel, though. Okay, so keep praying for me. But I've been asked so much of why I share so much of Joseph, and you know, so many details of things that I share. But I believe that God wants me to share as he's given it to me. Because I believe that that is the only way that people can actually be delivered when they hear your real testimony. I mean, how can they know that God can deliver them through their pain or whatever they're feeling unless they see somebody else get delivered from it? But if we try to hide it and conceal it and pretend that these things don't hurt or these things don't matter, how will they know if we're hiding it? So I believe that God wants us to be real, and that people need to see that the life that we're living really by faith. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am. Because, you know, I share about Joseph and question about why I do it. And I think that people just need to know how real God is. And the only way that they can see how real he is to see how real you are. Mm-hmm. So that's my reason, okay? Mm-hmm. So there you have it. There you have it. But people need to see things. They need to see you go through things and feel somewhat of what you're feeling. You know, because we talk so much, and we hear all of that, people keeping it 100, I'm keeping it real, and being transparent, and all these things. But they're really not, if they're only telling you half of the story.
Amen.
You got to tell people all of the story, the good things, the bad things, the ugly things. Amen. You know, your response in them. Let them see it, so that when you don't respond that way, or when it doesn't hurt you that way anymore, they can see the great deliverance of your God. I mean, this is Palm Sunday. This is Palm Sunday. It's the week supposedly before Jesus was, you know, Jesus got on that cross. I was going to say he was killed, but he got on the cross. He made a decision to be killed. So he got on the cross to die for us, you know. So this is even more of a great time for people to see just how real God is in your life and how Jesus can move in your life. So, so they talk about keeping 100, but they have to tell you all of the story, all the aspects of your life. You know, you can tell them about being, you know, in the valley and being on the mountaintop. You know, both, they need to see everything from every angle so that they know that Jesus will be able to relate to them.
Amen.
So, but in dealing with this now, you know, I wrote earlier this week about Joseph and how I feel some mornings when I wake up, and even, you know, last night, you know, I went to the store, and it's just funny how things just hit you, you know, but I just went to the store to get some chicken. And I went to the store, and I was coming out, and I just froze right in my tracks. But it's moments like that, and I just, you know, I just started thinking about Joseph. And from that moment on, I was like, just gone. Mm-hmm. And it just, all night I struggled, and this morning even, I woke up like, okay. And here God is, keep talking to me, the life that you now live. The life that you now live. The life that you now live. You live by faith in me. It's me that helps you to get up. It's me that will help you to overcome this as you continue to put your faith in me. So that's the thing. And that's what Paul was saying. The life, I'm crucified with Christ. So we believe that Christ died for us and that he went to the cross. We've been crucified with him. And we've transferred our life. We gave up our old life and we got this new life. But this new life that we live in the flesh, we have to live by faith in the Son of God. That is the only way that we are going to overcome. We have to continue to keep our eyes on the cross, continue to have faith and believe that though things are not working out right now, but my faith says, but yes, they will work out, because God said, all things work together for the good. God said that, you know, my heart is broken. God said he heals the brokenhearted. That he sees your tears and he turns your mourning into dancing. Amen. All of that is scripture. All of that is faith. That is activating your faith and saying that the life that I now live, that I'm purposing to live, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. Amen. And that's what that's what God has, you know, given to us. He's given us his faith through Jesus.
Amen.
To Jesus. And the scripture says, but now faith is. Now faith is. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. The life that I now live,
amen,
we have to live by faith in the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. And just one other thing that it just came to me, but there's a scripture in Acts 14, and it says that when the people saw the healing of the crucified man, crippled man, they credited it to God. And that just struck me, because when people see you and they see the deliverance and the power that's operating in your life, they need to credit it to God.
Amen.
And the only way that they can credit it to God is if you declare your faith that now faith is the life that I now live. I'm living by faith in the Son of God.
Amen.
Be God for me. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
This is no offering. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's some good teaching right there. Amen.
Amen.
You got to live by faith. You got to fight for the faith. Amen. And
amen.
Praise God. Yeah. That's right. Praise the Lord. Sister Patricia's going to come.
Amen.
And then Brother Christian comes out. I'm only kidding. Sister Patricia's coming now. Amen. Pray for her too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God
praise
is good.
Yes, he is.
You know, I have to laugh because we've all been kind of talking about fighting a good fight.
Amen.
Amen.
And God put on my heart to speak on weariness. Because I have been having moments of struggling in my faith.
Mm.
You know, it's just interesting because
there are
some days, I'll be honest, there are some days that I am just like high. Like I feel like I can speak to anything and it will happen. And I'm just like really on fire, really zealous. And then there are times where I'm just like, oh God, should I even be believing for this? Should I even be praying for this right now? Did you really say that this thing was going to happen? Like, what am I missing? And then last night I was at a fashion show and this woman got engaged. And I was just like, I'm here to be in the show. Why I got to witness this in like live? Just like, it was just right on the spot. And I was just sitting there like, I wasn't overly involved. But someone spirit checked me. You know what I mean? You can't be buying after someone else's stuff and you still believe for yours. But again, it's just like you have those moments because life happens. You know, things happen. You're sitting there, you have a vision in your mind, you know that God spoke something to your heart, and what in reality is not what, you know, God shows you. So as I was having my moments, Lord took me to Hebrews 10, verse 35, and I'll stop at 39. It says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen. For yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry.
Amen.
Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Now I was looking at that, and I'm like, okay, God. But the part that stood out to me the most was after you have done the will of God. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like saying, okay, well, God, well, what's your will? You know, that's subjective to everybody. Everybody has something to believe in God for. What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Is there something that I'm doing that I should be doing? Mm-hmm. You know, is there things that I should be doing that I'm not doing? Like, what is it? And God let me know that it's not based on specific works. Mm-hmm. He took me down to chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And then right back in verse 38, says, "The just shall live by faith."
Amen.
The will of God is staying in faith.
Amen.
And still believing him when things don't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, like Pastor Jeff was saying, a lot of people look at, you know, we're faith people and they think that they're weak. But this thing is a struggle. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, it takes a lot of strength not to do what your natural body wants to do.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Faith is tithing. When you know you have other things to do with that money. You know, faith is turning the other cheek when you want to tell somebody about themselves. Like, who is you talking to? Like, who, I mean, you know what I mean? You just want to, like, lash out, but you don't, you know?
Amen.
Faith is walking in forgiveness.
Amen.
You know, allowing that person access into your life after they have hurt you. So, I mean, faith is, it takes you strength to walk in faith. Mm-hmm. And then as I was, like, thinking, like, okay, God, you know, I know that we're supposed to stay in faith, and I know that we're supposed to not allow things of life to distract us. But then he took me to Luke. And I never thought of this incident in this manner. So in Luke 8, verses 40, this leader, Jairus, comes to Jesus because his 12-year-old daughter is sick. Mm-hmm. In verse 40 it says, "And when it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Mm-hmm. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had only a daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And then immediately, verse 43, now the woman having a flow of blood." So that means that Jairus came to Jesus, asked him to heal his daughter, but in the meantime, somebody came and got in front of him.
Amen.
And she was a woman who had an issue of blood for years. We know the story that, you know, as Jesus was trying to make it through the crowd, she touched him and received her healing.
Amen.
But while all that's going on, Jairus is still waiting to get to Jesus. He's still trying to get him to come to his house to heal his daughter. So while the woman gets her healing, you know, she gets her deliverance, like how many of us were still praying for God to do something for us, and while we're seeing our friends getting this and they're getting that, and we're still here, we're still waiting, Jairus didn't say anything. He didn't interrupt it. He didn't interrupt the flow. And even while after this happened, after the woman got her healing, jump down, it says, verse 49, "And when he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.'" His daughter died at that point. Like, he went to Jesus. He's being proactive. He's going to get him to come heal his daughter. But in the middle of that, while he's waiting, somebody steps in front of him, gets their healing, and then his daughter dies. And I was looking at that. I'm like, well, But the goodness of God is displayed right in this chapter. If you continue to read, I'll jump down to verse 52, where it says, "Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, 'Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by her hand, and saying, 'Little girl, arise.' Then her spirit returned, and she rose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat." And when I thought about that, I thought, what if J.R.'s got frustrated in the delay?
Wow.
What if he saw that Jesus was dealing with the woman of the issue of blood and turned around and said, "You know what, there's too many people here. I'm just going to go." He would have went home and buried his daughter.
Yep.
But because he stuck by Jesus, he remained in faith, because for him to have stood there, he must have believed that Jesus was able to heal his daughter. So he stayed in faith, waiting. And yes, it looked like it was bleak because they said his daughter was dead, but he still had faith that Jesus could still move. And it was because of his persistence that he got his daughter's healing. He didn't have to go home and prepare a burial. He was able to go to his daughter who was sick, then died, and was risen again.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I think, you know, even with, who's the other one? Lazarus. You know, Jesus delayed.
Amen.
You know, sometimes the delay is just a setup for a miraculous display of God's goodness. You know, it's just all about just being persistent, fighting the good fight of faith, and just encouraging yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
Look at the word. Not everybody got the promises that God gave them right away.
Amen.
Abraham, he didn't get it. I know we don't like to use him as an example. I know I don't like to. You know, entertain the idea that it's going to take me 16, 20 years before I get what I've been asking for. But that's the reality of it. The longer I think you wait, the more it's just, when you do get it, you can't. Even you have to say that that was God. You can't say, "Oh, well, I did this. I burned the midnight oil." No, God did this thing. You know, so I'm just encouraging you guys to just stay in faith. There's a purpose in the delay.
Amen.
And at the end of it, God will get the glory. You can't even chop it, you know, take credit for it.
No.
God does this on purpose so that he may be glorified.
Amen.
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 Papers together. Praise the Lord. I was busy writing things down. I tell you, Brother Les, this is a good book right here. This little green notebook has some wisdom in it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I was looking at Sister Fennell. I mean, I wrote down so many things she was saying. I thought my pen was going to run out of ink. She said, "Tell all the story, so that people can see the great deliverance of your God." They need to know about the valley and the mountaintop. I'm not on Facebook that much, but if you see me on Facebook, you know that every now and then I'll tweet somebody who will show me the salad that they're eating. But I want to know about the hamburger and the fries too. I know you just don't eat that. You know, but we tend to just want to show the good. I think that's what Sister Fennell is saying, right? Folks on Facebook would love to show you their protein shake that they're drinking, but they don't show you that big, you know, liter of Coke that they drank when they were binge watching something on Netflix. Amen?
Amen.
And so to me, that's my way of just saying, no, show me everything. Because like Sister Fennell said, that's how people know you're real. Right? Show everything, right? Show the beauty marks, but also show your warts too.
That's right.
Right, and so she said, "Listen, you're in the valley. People need to know you're in the valley, and not just when you're on the mountaintop. But everybody's been talking about just, you know, Sister and I have been fighting for the faith, and then from there it's been like a faith explosion, right? Since we're now talking about faith, now faith is the life of which I now live. I must live by the faith of the Son of God." And then Patricia talking about Jairus, amen. And she's absolutely right. He's standing there in the face, because otherwise, homeboy would have went home.
Yep.
Right? But You know what's interesting too, though, and how many times, you know, things don't go the way we want them to go if we give up on God. Because we even see it in the Old Testament with Naaman. Remember with Naaman? He was the captain of the Syrian host, and he had leprosy. And the little maid said, why don't you go to the man of God in Israel, because he could heal you. And when Elisha didn't come out, but he sent out his servant and said, go wash in the river, he got mad. And he was about to go back. And his servants told him, hey, this is a small thing, why don't you do it? But here's the thing, he would have went home with his attitude and his leprosy.
Yeah.
Right? But instead, he followed what the man of God said, and how, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so he followed the words of the man of God, and he got his healing.
Amen.
Right? But it didn't come in the package he wanted it to, but it still came. So, yeah, delays, and, you know, God doesn't always do what we want.
Amen.
Amen. Before we leave, amen, I just want to share something with you as well, because this is Palm Sunday, and I just want to, I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to look at verses 41 through 44. And, you know, every gospel, each of the four gospels talk about the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. And how he was hailed as Israel's king. And we know that the Pharisees were upset with the people and were upset with Jesus because the people were hailing him as king. Hosanna. Calling Jesus their king. Mm-hmm. Giving glory to God. But in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44, I'm going to read those verses in the New Living Translation. It just says this. It says, but as he, Jesus, came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. And then he spoke, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you in from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. And so we see here, after the triumphal entry, after Jesus was received with rejoicing and with, you know, joyful shouts and all of these good things, Jesus looked out over the city of Jerusalem and began to cry. And you look at that and you wonder what's going on, right? Jesus started crying. He had just been greeted by crowds that were rejoicing. They were hailing him as the promised king of the Jewish people. But when he looked out over the city, and he looked out over some of these same people who inhabited the city, he began to cry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because Jesus knew that many of the people who on this day were singing his praises, they didn't get it. And they didn't get him. They didn't understand what kind of king he was. They thought he was a king that was going to come and free them from political oppression. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand that he was going to free them from the bondage of sin that leads to death. Right? Romans 6 and 23 says it, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But see, many of the people on that day were excited because Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. That's why they were excited. Mm-hmm. In John's Gospel, it says in chapter 12 that those who witnessed the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead told others. And when the others heard it, they came rushing out to see Jesus. So they were excited because of what they heard. In fact, John's gospel says this. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. So many people who went out that day weren't going out and rushing to see Jesus because they understood who he was. They were going out because they heard about what he did. And as we stand here on Palm Sunday, it really brings home to us this important point. The reason we come to Jesus is so important. If we come because we understand who he is, that he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords, that he's Alpha and the Omega, that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If we come to him because we know who he is, we'll stay with him for the long haul.
Amen.
Because we know who he is. But if we come to Jesus but because of what he has done, or because what we hope he will do for us, then we may be surprised how quickly we'll turn away from him when he doesn't do what we think he should have done. And so the reason why we come is so important. There are millions of people today, I believe, thousands, maybe millions of people today, who once followed Jesus but aren't following him anymore. They used to glorify his name. They used to come and sing the praises. But they don't even come to church on Sunday anymore. They don't come to church during the week anymore. They don't read their Bible anymore. They don't sing songs of Zion anymore. And it's all because somewhere along the line in their life, Jesus didn't do what they thought he would do. Psalm 103 and 7 has one of my favorite scriptures. It says that God made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The New Living Translation says he revealed his character to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. How many of you know it is far better to know and understand the character of God than it is to understand his deeds? You see, when you understand the character of God, when you understand that God is faithful, when you know that God is true, when you know that God is good, when you know that God is holy, when you know that God is righteous and God is loving and he's generous and he's kind, then you will stay faithful in your walk with him even when you don't understand what he's doing.
Amen.
Because you know he's good.
Amen.
Once you and I understand, for example, that God is not a man that he should lie, then we know if he told us something, he's going to do it, even if it takes a long time.
Yes, amen.
But you got to know his character. You got to know his character. And so Jesus cried that day over the city, even though he just got celebrated. He was crying over the city, because he knew that the people didn't understand that he was the way to true and lasting peace. Wow. They were looking for something else. They didn't recognize, as the scripture said, that they didn't recognize that God had visited them through the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, the word says that the people wanted to force him to be their king. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said to them, he said, I'll tell you the truth. You want me to be your king because I fed you, not because you understand.
Wow.
Right? Because I gave you fish and bread. That's why you want me to be your king. But you don't understand what the fish and bread was all about. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand. And it brings us back to that question that Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Right? Who do men say that I am? He didn't ask them, what do men say that I do? It was, who do men say that I am? We need to know who Jesus is, right? more than what we should know about what he does. Our friend Job once said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How many of you know you can't trust somebody you don't know? Right? You don't trust somebody you don't know. And so when Job said, though he slay me, yet I trust him, what is he saying? Whatever he does to me, it wasn't about his acts.
Yes.
Whatever he does, I'm still going to trust him. Why? Because I know him. So even if he does things, I don't understand why he took my children. I don't understand why he took my business. I don't understand why he let all this stuff come to me. I don't understand all these boils all over me. But if he slays me, I'm still going to trust him.
Amen.
Because I know his character. And I believe that when we know God's character, it brings stability to our lives. Right? It brings consistency. We don't ride the roller coaster anymore. Up one day, down the next. Up one day, down the next. Up one day, down the next. Why? Because it's all dependent upon what God does for us. You give me a job, I'm up. I get laid off, I'm down. Right? I got money in my pocket, I'm up. Right? I can't pay the bills, I'm down. See, it's not about those types of things. How many of you know life will take you through a roller coaster, but if you know who God is, you can stay on an even plane.
Amen.
You can stay on an even plane. These people were calling Jesus the Son of God, Hosanna, you know, God saves now, on one week, and by next week they had flipped the script, they had changed up, and now they were saying, crucify him. Why? Because they didn't know who Jesus was. So at the end of the day, Jesus cried over that city. The word even said it, because he said, it's now too late. It's too late. He said, because Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And do you know that 40 years later, not even 40 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. Over 600 Jewish people died. The city was destroyed, just as Jesus said.
Yeah.
And he was crying over that city almost 40 years prior, because he knew what was going to happen. That if you don't know who I am, you're headed for destruction. So as I read this, amen, and, you know, Palm Sunday, I just thought to myself, is Jesus crying over you today?
Wow.
I mean, there are plenty of people who are in church even on this day, but just because you're yelling Hosanna today don't mean Jesus ain't crying over you.
Wow.
Because why are you praising God today? Are you praising God today? Are you praising Jesus today because of who he is? Or because of what he does? Or what you think he's going to do for you?
Wow.
And if it's not because of who he is, Jesus just may be crying over you today.
Wow.
Right? He may be crying over you. So whether you're in church or out of church, I think it's important that we know who Jesus is. Right? Yeah. Recognize that God has visited the earth through the person of Jesus Christ, that Jesus offers peace that no one else can give. He offers the gift of salvation that no one else can give you. And we got to do it, as Jesus said. He said for the Jewish people, it was too late. But see, for us, it's not too late. Because as long as you got breath, all you got to do is say, right, I'm going to receive Jesus for who he is.
Amen.
The Savior of the world. Right? And so, I just think, you know, all of us, amen, we have to examine ourselves sometimes and say, why am I following God? Why am I coming to church? Why am I reading my word? Why am I praying? Is it because I want God to do something for me, or is it more important that I know who God is? Mm-hmm. Right? God told, in the Old Testament, he said, listen, if you want to boast about anything, boast about this, that you know me. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. Don't boast about what I've done for you. Don't boast about your wisdom. Boast that you know me. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you this. It's better to know who God is than to have an understanding of all the things he does.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Moses had the greater thing. God revealed his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel.
That's right.
It's the reason why God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. We want to understand the ways of God, the character of God. And if we do that, Jesus won't be crying over you. Amen.
Amen.
He'll be rejoicing over you because we would be walking and living that life of faith. Right?
Amen.
Because we can go through all kinds of things and we'll be like Jairus and stay there. We'll be like Paul and said, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God.
Amen.
We'll be staying there, living a life that pleases God. Why? Because even though it may take a long time, we'll know something. If God said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. You still believe in God? Yep, I'm still believing God. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Not because he hasn't done it, he's done something or not, but because you know
him. Amen.
Amen. Now, I can tell you right now, amen, Sister Fennell was talking about, you know, this life that we live now, our new normal without Joseph. And I tell you this, the only thing that keeps me going is because I believe I know the Lord.
That's it.
And he said certain things and made certain promises about now and the hereafter that I'm banking on.
Amen.
Otherwise, I throw in the towel.
Right now.
It was about his acts. It's about his ways. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm praying today that Jesus is not crying over you. Amen.
Amen.
But he's rejoicing over you because he knows that you are focused on and know and understand who he is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He is our risen Savior. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If God doesn't do anything else for you, will you be satisfied? Could you still live a life of faith if nothing else came into your life? Uh-oh. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for everything, every word that was shared today. Praise the Lord. I believe God was glorified. I believe we were edified. Amen. Strengthened and encouraged. Amen. It's still amazing how God speaks on that line. Amen. And things are connected. Let's pray. Father, we bless you.
Yes, Father.
God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for what you've spoken unto us today.
Yes.
God, the common theme was faith. Hallelujah. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to stand in faith and live by faith. And we have to know, God, hallelujah, that there's a purpose in the delay. And that, Father, if we know who you are, if we know who Jesus is, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, for just increasing us and building us up in our most holy faith.
Yes.
And we believe you're doing it, oh God, because there are great things in store for your people. Things that we cannot see or achieve,
yes,
except by walking by faith. And so, Father, we thank you. We're excited right now in the name of Jesus that as our faith comes not to stay, but it comes to be released.
Yeah.
And so, Father God, show us how to release our faith that we,
yeah,
may lay hold of all the promises of God that are in the spirit realm and we can bring it into the natural realm,
yeah,
that you may be glorified through the revelation of your goodness in the lives of your people. And so, Father, we give you the praise and we give you the thanks. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
God, we ask you to seal this word deep in our hearts. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we stand fast against the enemy who would try to steal this word,
yes,
even before we leave this place.
Yeah.
We call him a defeated foe. We call him a trespasser. And we plead the blood of Jesus against him.
Yeah.
And Father, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will water this precious word that was sown in our spirit. And that, Father God, we shall reap a harvest in due time. And Father, we're believing on that, and we call it done by faith in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And so, Father, I just thank you now, and I praise you now for everyone who has shared what you have shared with them.
Yes.
And we believe we are made better as a result. And for that, we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And I feel better, so much better. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.